Over and over, we heard in the readings today about seeing, about being witnesses of what this great event of Jesus rising from the dead. Peter, talking to the people in Jerusalem just a few days after the event, says that we saw him. We were with him first when he taught and when he healed people, but we also ate with him after he had risen from the dead. Eyewitness account. Who can shake the knowledge of one who has seen and experienced something? That's the power of eyewitness accounting. And Peter says, we were there. We saw this. We have in the gospel story where Mary Magdalene went early to the tomb because they hadn't finished the proper preparation for the burying of the dead, not enough of the various kind of ointments and sweet-smelling perfumes. The stone was rolled back. She saw that and saw the tomb was empty. She does not stay and kind of say, well, I'll take charge here. She goes back to Peter, the one in charge, and says, they must have taken the body away. And that's when he and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, take off running. And of course, as it says, the younger one outran the older one, and he was there at the tomb, but he didn't go in. He waited out of respect. And when Peter came huffing and puffing finally, he went in first to verify with his eyes what he saw. And then John tells us that afterwards he too goes in and he finds the big wrapping, the big burial cloth in one spot, and the napkin like that would cover the face at another spot. And they came to believe. This growing, the Greek is this kind of a verb that speaks about growing. So they were, all of this kept making more and more sense to them, and they realized and they believed. They had seen. It's much like today. I hope a lot of your families will get together. I hope they will be peaceful gatherings. But probably in the midst of that, stories will be told about members of the family, events that were significant for these people. And except for some of the bluster and a bit of exaggeration, there's always the kernel of truth in all of that. But it's the wonderful sharing of these family stories, family events, memories that take place. And so grandparents pass them on to children, and then parents, when they are parents, pass them on to their children. And so generationally, things happen that the same stories are told over and over again, sometimes even some of the bad sides and the bad events, but most of the time, only the good that we share and pass on. But it's that same kind of activity in our own personal lives that we recognize has taken place in our faith translation and transition, generation after generation. We are told, we hear, we believe. These little ones, give them 20, 25 years. We pray that they will be bringing their children and the same stories they will hear and pass on. Seeing, understanding, believing. About 20 years ago, I went to visit a man on Good Friday in the hospital. Non-communicative, very, very still out. The nurses told me they were just warehousing him until he would die very quickly. I anointed him on Good Friday and I left. Easter Sunday, he was out of the hospital. And he's living and working today. Eyewitness account, his own realization of what had happened in his life. He has told his story, and a few times I've told the story. But we know this to be true. We'll never forget it. They are the things that impact us, and we know. Sometimes the things that happen don't always follow the wonderful pattern of death and resurrection, as we've experiencing here with our Lord's life. Sometimes it doesn't make it to that final stage that we can see. Thursday, I anointed a young girl, barely 14, who from her very birth had never really had good health. Heart had a hole in it, we tried to repair it, and on through the years then just not having the strength to live as her contemporaries would live. We knew that she was near the end of her life, and yesterday she died. And yet, somehow also fitting this same pattern of our Lord, undergoing passion, torture, and ultimately death. But because of her faith and the story she had been told, and the story she took on as her own, she even told her parents that Jesus had spoken to her in recent days and said that he would be coming soon to take her to himself. So that we have that added dimension of faith that even if we die, even if tragic things happen, there is that step beyond where we are called to be with our Lord forever. And it gives us great hope, gives us peace, gives us a way of dealing with problems that we hear about and know about in the world every day. The people in Boston are remembering, especially the event of a year and a week ago at the last marathon, when three people were killed and hundreds were wounded. Many of them lost limbs because of the tragic bombing. They will remember, and they are remembering, and we are all remembering. Next year at this time, many people in Korea, South Korea, will be remembering the tragedy of the loss of hundreds of young people, high schoolers, sophomores, juniors, most of them, in this terrible overturning of this ferry boat. We can't get beyond events that make an impression. We especially remember things that are close to us, things that have happened. And so our Lord, every year we celebrate, we cycle through his wonderful life, and to help us to hear the stories over and over, that I love you, I will go, and I will call you to follow. In the meantime, while you're here on earth, do my work. Take care of yourself. Keep close to me in your life. But then also reach out to others who may need your help and your blessing and your strength and your kindness. Together one day, we'll be there. Glorious, triumphant, victorious, we will be there together with our Lord, our Savior, and Redeemer.